Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's up, man? The one and only. I'm here in the flesh.
Yeah, the one and only, man. So, Stephen, man, it's been a little bit. We got through the NFL draft, had a couple of days to process everything. Man, it was a decent NFL draft. I wasn't just particularly fond of a lot of the landing spots and stuff, but we'll talk about that here in a minute, Stephen. What's been going on in your life, man?
Dude, just a lot of sports, man. Of course, I coach basketball, head coach, and that was a long season. We start practically 1st of November all the way through the middle of February. And for some reason this year, I signed up to be assistant baseball, and we just finished this past Tuesday. So I've literally been sports at the high school level for the past 6 months, I guess. Long time. Tired of it.
You get you a small break now, right?
I'm ready for a break. So I get a small break. We start summer basketball in June. So we play 15 games this summer, and I will get a break in July and August and some of September, and then we'll really ramp back up for basketball. So that'll really be my break. I really won't break till July. I'll get a little small break here, but then I'll really get a break in July. So kind of looking forward to that, but you know, that's what I chose to do. So that's what we're doing.
Absolutely, man. I know since the last podcast, I think I may have mentioned this, but we got a puppy about 3 weeks ago. And so getting a dog inside the house, so this is the first dog I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's like having a newborn baby all over again, bro. Waking up in the morning, letting it out to go pee, all that kind of nonsense. And so ready for this phase to kind of be over with. But Steven, man, a couple of things has happened in the NFL world since we last recorded. The first thing, man, big news. Lamar Jackson finally got the bag, man. Something we love to see, dude. He signed a 5-year, $260 million deal with $185 million guaranteed, which now makes him the NFL's highest paid player. Man, I'm happy for this. I'm happy for Lamar. Not only that, but seeing some of what the hype has been towards Baltimore with the new OC coming in, as well as their draft picks, which we'll talk about here shortly. But Steven, where does this move Lamar up in your dynasty rankings? In your, like, currently, where do you think he's sitting at in your rankings?
I don't know if it moves him up. I think if it does, maybe a spot or two. I still love Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in that 1A, 1B, but Lamar's right there, around the Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson spot there, for me. And I think this just solidifies him, right? It just kind of cements him in, you know, because there was a lot up in the air about where he was going to go, what was he going to do, was he going to go back to Baltimore? And to be honest, BJ, I'd written him out of Baltimore after kind of the way they've treated him and things like that. And I think if he would have had an agent, he would not have been back in Baltimore. I think an agent would have got him somewhere else. But with him not having an agent and it just kind of being on him, I think he just waited. He just waited and waited and waited, and he finally got the deal he wanted from Baltimore. So, but I think this just cements him, solidifies him as a top four quarterback for Dynasty, you know, at worst.
Yeah, and see, like, I've got him right up there, like what you said, with Jalen Hurts, Burrow, and Herbert. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, man, I've got him as my QB1 in a couple of leagues, Steven, in Superflex leagues, and I'm ecstatic about this. Like, I'm to the point now to where I had so much worry going into the season, like, should I go try to get some Huntley shares, you know, or like what? And now I'm excited, and I'm anxious to see just what he can do inside this new system, and hopefully it's not just – I mean, he did – awesome in the years past, but man, I'm anxious to see what a high octane offense looks like with Lamar Jackson this year. And some, I guess, less exciting news: Aaron Rodgers officially gets traded to the New York Jets. If you're a Rodgers fan, then I mean, I guess it's exciting news. But the deal included Green Bay sending Rodgers in a 23 first, the 15th overall, and a fifth round pick, the 170th overall, for New York's 23 first, basically moving up two spots to 13th overall, a 23 second, a 23 sixth, and a conditional 24 second round pick that becomes a first if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps this season. Steven, I'm just going to ask you very, very quickly, man. Did the Jets overpay for Rodgers?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on who Rodgers is, right? Is he just this guy that we've seen the past, you know, couple years, the past year, and he just feels like a guy now? Or does he have some life left to be elite again? I think it's going to take the season to tell, right? Because if he comes into New York and he plays elite and he brings that elite quarterback play back, they've got some weapons in New York now.
Oh, yeah.
And if they make a run, if they make a playoff run, a deep playoff run, or any playoff run for the Jets, I think it's probably worth it to them. So I think it's just a wait-and-see thing on whether or not they overpaid.
100%, man. I think it kind of depends on how he performs, just like what you said. If he comes out there and is a bust and just doesn't look like he has it anymore, then everybody is going to be calling for the GM's head. But it's going to be something that we're going to have to wait till what, August, September to see, man. For me, I'm not excited about it. We said last podcast, me and you, neither one have any Aaron Rodgers shares. Am I correct in saying that?
I think you're right.
And so I think we've just washed our hands of the situation and just going to move on. Jordan Love, how you feeling about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Okay, cool. Man, so anyway, Stephen, like I said, the NFL draft happened last time, man. And so what we want to do on this episode, we don't want to give an in-depth analysis. We don't want to go through a, you know, man, we really love this guy and we're going to be talking about him and taking him around, whatever. All we want to do this episode is we want to cover the player, where they were drafted at, and at what pick, and just kind of a quick take on how we're feeling. Ask ourselves, hey, is this player still your QB1, your RB1, that kind of thing. But anyway, Stephen, before we get into that, man, I just want to take this little short time and thank our friends over at Jab Step, a fantasy basketball podcast. Y'all go give Ben Cassidy and Jonathan a quick listen, man. They made some good content, and they have been following the NBA playoffs for a while now. And so y'all go follow them out over there, Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. All right, Steven, let's begin with the quarterback position, man. No surprise to anyone, the Carolina Panthers at 101 selected Bryce Young. As an Alabama fan, I am excited for this landing spot, kind of. You know, I mean, it's no Indianapolis Colts with Pittman and JT. But it's also not the Houston Texans. So, man, I'm happy to see Bryce Young go there. I'm happy to see him be the first overall pick. I know there's going to be concerns with his size and everything else. But for this move, Steven, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. He is still my QB1 in fantasy. I know that with A. Rich and his landing spot, which we'll talk about here shortly, people are contending him for the 101 now as far as QBs go. For me, I think the ceiling may be there with A. Rich, but that's a tall task. He has to take a lot of steps to get there. With Bryce Young, he's got that safer floor, and he is a player where I'm happy selecting him in all of my Superflex leagues. Where are you at it with him, Steven?
Man, I love Bryce Young. I still like Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. This Anthony Richardson stuff, though, is really gaining some traction, right? I mean, and I haven't watched – I mean, I watched him play at Florida. I think he's uber athletic, and to be honest, it's just the appeal of the Jalen Hurts, right, and the Lamar Jacksons, and seeing what they can do at the NFL level, and that's the appeal. That's what's going on right now. Could he potentially be the next Jalen Hurts? I think that's what the Colts are going for, right? I mean, that's what they want. So there's definitely some appeal there. I'll be honest with you. I have not been in any drafts, you know, where I've had some top picks, usually because I win all of my leagues. But I'd have a tough time taking Stroud over Richardson, I think, at this point. Now, there's a lot of people that I've even talked to that has Stroud as the 101 quarterback. So, you know, but for me personally, really like Bryce Young. I hate he's in my division with the Panthers there, big Saints fan. I do like Stroud, and I like Richardson, so I'm excited to see what these guys can do. Levis, we'll see. I've not been sold on him, never was. Hendon Hooker's kind of another pretty big wild card, right? I mean,
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with Jared Goff? I did see that they're in extension talks with Jared Goff right now.
Yeah.
But if that implodes or if he blows up and Hooker comes in, he's another one that's got that, you know, really athletic profile. So it's going to be fun to watch. Hooker's a guy that's going to be a wait. You know, you're going to have to wait on him.
Mm-hmm.
But those other guys, man, they might step in and be ready to go this year.
Yeah, and just for the listener's sake, C.J. Stroud went 102 to the Texans. Richardson went 104 to the Indianapolis Colts. Levis actually ended up falling all the way to the second round to the Tennessee Titans at 202. And then Hendon Hooker went to the Detroit Lions at 305. And so, Steven, I'm right there with you, man. If it's me personally, I've got Richardson ahead of Stroud just because I hate the – like I didn't mind the landing spot of the Houston Texans pre-draft. But for what they paid for Will Anderson at 103 and giving up their 24 first-round pick, that pretty much says, like, hey, C.J. Stroud, we're not going to just load you up with weapons, bro. It's just going to be you and Nico Collins and John Metchie and Tank Dell and whoever else is there. And so I'm not super excited about that. So if I've got 103, 104, I'm probably going Richardson in all cases, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, right.
Levis, we'll see. Going into the running back position, Steven, what do you think about this Bijan Robinson landing spot, man? Atlanta Falcons 108.
Well, I mean, they suck, so they're going to have to do something. He's probably going to be running the ball a lot. So I think for fantasy purposes, he's probably got a pretty good spot. I mean, who's he got to beat there?
Algier.
Tyler Algier. So, you know, it's probably going to be his load to carry. And, you know, everybody loves Bijan. I have seen film. Of course, he's been talked about as the 101 for a long, long time, even in Superflexes. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you've talked about this. I don't know that I'm taking him 101 in Superflexes, but, you know, that's just me. I know I'm probably in the minority there. But I go on history and I see things. Me and you talked about this a few months ago about how important that quarterback position is. And if you go back in your previous drafts, just go back and look at some of your previous drafts and look at where the quarterbacks went in those drafts and where they're going now overall, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I actually had a Kelby Johnson, the Dynasty Minion on Twitter. He reached out to me, I think it was about a week and a half ago, and he actually said, hey, do you still have Bijan 101? I do. And I was like, look, I'll be honest with you. I was like, currently, probably, but not by much. And I said, but I only had one 101 in all of my leagues that I'm in. Because with it, I think it was like my primary rebuilding league. The rest of them, reload or win now, whatever. Only one share of 101. And I sold that because in my views, Bijan Robinson cannot take my team from a rebuild to an automatic contender in 1 year. For me, like what you said, Steven, the quarterback value is there. And so if I can move back from 101 to 103 and gain some draft capital, I'm probably making that move. But also, if I can trade the 101 for a haul, I saw 101 go for Tony Pollard, Drake London, and the 110 in a draft like not too long ago. And so with that value's there. And dude, if you can get that kind of value out of a running back that, I mean, yeah, Atlanta Falcons is awesome. And yes, people are touting Bijan as Dynasty RB1. But how many teams that have 101 are actually ready for the 101 ready for Bijan Robinson?
Not many.
And so, man, that's my thing, dude. I'm quick to trade out. It doesn't bother me a bit. I will be honest with you. I will not have a single Bijan Robinson share, not because I hate the guy, but just because the value, man, you can probably get a haul for the man right now because he is being touted as Dynasty RB1.
Mm-hmm.
See what's out there. You know, all he can go for is down now. You know, like there's no Dynasty RB0. So
I've been looking at some rankings and some things and different like that. And I've been looking at a lot of Superflex rookie rankings. I even looked at a few overall rankings today, and there was two or three different places that I looked that their overall running back rankings has Bijan at 101, and he's not played a single snap in the NFL yet.
No, dude, I've seen it everywhere, man.
That's what I'm saying. Everywhere, he's the 101. He's the 101 of running backs, ahead of JT, ahead of anybody.
That's tough, bro.
Kind of crazy.
I get it. I get where people see him as a generational running back like Saquon, but it's just it's tough for me to put him there. Now, I don't know. I'm anxious to see what he does in the NFL. Let's just say that. I think the surprise pick that nobody saw coming, man, Jahmyr Gibbs to the Detroit Lions at 112. It was said pre-draft that he might sneak into the first round, but it was a good chance he was going early second. And here he is making the top 12 picks to the Detroit Lions, who had DeAndre Swift on the team. And then a day later, they trade DeAndre Swift for a 2024 fourth round pick and a seventh round swap to the Philadelphia Eagles. And so two takes right quick, Steven. Jahmyr Gibbs, where do you like? How do you feel about this landing spot? How do you feel about the player? And also, are you excited about the Swift move?
I'm excited for Swift. The Lions never gave Swift a chance. Swift is dynamic. Swift is a dynamic player. I know there's a lot of people that don't like him, but man, he was never really given a chance. I mean, Jamal Williams was playing over him for whatever reason. I don't know. Damn, Campbell just likes the smash mouth stuff. If Swift was just not his type of guy. But man, I love it for Swift. And for Jahmyr Gibbs, I think it's going to be good for him. I mean, I've seen a lot of places. You know, we talk about rankings. I've seen a ton of places. He's the top 10. He's in your top 10 of dynasty running backs. So I think for Jahmyr Gibbs, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be really good for Swift. So I really liked it overall.
So going into the rest of these running backs, I think we can kind of move through these quickly, Steven. I only got one person I really want to mention. Zach Charbonnet, Seattle Seahawks, 221. Handcuffed to Kenneth Walker. A lot of people are touting him as that something is happening with Walker. Who knows? I think this is just basically not a great situation.
A lot of people are saying that this is a 1A, 1B thing with Charbonnet and Walker. Like, their metrics are the same. Their numbers are kind of the same. But we'll see. I wouldn't like it if I was a Kenneth Walker owner.
Absolutely, 100% agreed. Kendre Miller, New Orleans Saints, 308. Take a shot on him in your rookie drafts, man.
Yep.
Without Alvin Kamara being suspended, just take a shot. Yep. Tajay Spears, Tennessee Titans, 318. The landing spot's pretty good. Not crazy about the player, in all honesty. Devon Achane, Miami Dolphins, 321. McDaniel actually pushed the GM to take him here. And so this is actually a player that I'm intrigued by. This is a player that I actually currently have as my RB3 in Dynasty Rookie Drafts, or running back, whatever you want to call it. I'm taking shots on Devon Achane personally. Tank Bigsby, Jacksonville Jaguars, 325, handcuffed to Travis Etienne. Roschon Johnson, Chicago Bears, 413. Your new starting running back for the Chicago Bears. Take him in your rookie drafts. Zach Evans, Los Angeles Rams, 6. I don't know what pick it was. It was in the 6th round somewhere. Zach Evans is intriguing because with it, Steven, touted as a college prospect, actually didn't have a great junior season with Quinshon Judkins beating him out. But he goes to a spot where all he has to beat is Cam Akers. And so I think there's a little bit of potential here. What do you think, Steven?
We'll see. Cam Akers did kind of come on as the year went on last year. And, again, it's kind of one of those things where, kind of like the Charbonnet situation, if you're a Cam Akers owner, you don't love it, you know. So you just kind of hope, if you're a Cam Akers owner, that Zach Evans is the true backup to him. But, again, we'll see.
Moving forward into the wide receiver position, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was the first wide receiver taken off the board to the Seattle Seahawks at 120. I'm excited about this landing spot. He is still my current rookie wide receiver one. Quentin Johnson goes to Los Angeles Chargers at 121, right behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Zay Flowers, Baltimore Ravens, 122. I'm really surprised they went him instead of Jordan Addison with the next pick to the Minnesota Vikings at 123. Out of those top four wide receivers, Steven, just give me a quick order of what you got them in.
JSN, Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers.
100% agreed. I think Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnson can be interchangeable, but I like Jordan Addison's landing spot at the Vikings better. Jonathan Mingo, Carolina Panthers, 208. I think Mingo is going to be someone that people take really, really early. Jaden Reed, Green Bay Packers, 219. This is a sneaky player that I think you should be picking up in your rookie draft, personally. I think he has a potential to actually beat out Romeo Doubs as a wide receiver, too. Rashee Rice, Kansas City Chiefs, 224. Steven, give me your take on this player.
You know, the landing spot's good. Obviously, you're probably with the best quarterback in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes. There's still Kelce there, but I do think there's potential because the receiving group is just not great. So they needed to go get a receiver. They did do that. So I'm a little bit excited about it.
I am too.
Juju,
I think
Juju moved on. So, you know, Sky Moore's still there, obviously. But I am excited about this.
He's at least a wide receiver three on the team, could very easily be the wide receiver two over Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. Marvin Mims Jr., Denver Broncos, 232. I think you should be taking a shot on him as well. Tank Dell, Houston, Texas, 306. I'm not crazy about this. I don't even know who this player was pre-draft, I'll be honest with you.
Yep.
It is what it is. Jalen Hyatt, though, New York Giants, 310. I'm taking some third-round shots on him if he makes it to the third round. We saw what he did in the SEC. He's basically a specialist of the deep ball, and the Giants wide receiver core is trash. Mm-hmm. Cedric Tillman, Cleveland Browns, 311. Not interested. Josh Downs, Indianapolis Colts, 316. Am interested. Josh Downs, I have him on a Devy squad right now. I'm excited about this landing spot because I think he can very easily overtake Alec Pierce. And right now they've been saying that they only had training camp for like 2 days, but they're saying he's tearing it up right now.
He is a board flyer, right? I mean, he is flying up these rookie boards. I've even seen some, like I said, been looking at a lot of rankings, a lot of ADPs. And I've seen not many, but I've seen a couple has him at the end of the first round of your rookie drafts. So just keep your eye on Josh Downs.
I'm pretty happy that I got him at 303 today in the league then, Steven.
I did see one article that had him at like 111.
Hey, bro, so, I'll take it, bro. yeah. I've seen him in one quarterback go early second. We have our own thoughts about one quarterback leagues. Honorable mentions quick, though. Kayshon Boutte going to the New England Patriots, 6'10". Are you in or out on Boutte, Steven?
I think I asked you this question this week, and you kind of helped me with my answer on him. The only reason I ask, right, is because this time last year or maybe a little bit before that, he was at the top of the board of your Devy wide receivers. Yep. So it'll be interesting. The landing spot sucks.
Oh yeah. So, well, he's about to go undrafted in a 3-round super flex tight end premium league that we're currently in.
Hey, I got 312. You never know.
Hey, you know, we'll see. One player, though, that I wanted to kind of briefly mention, Elijah Higgins, Miami Dolphins. He went in the 6th round. He is actually transitioning to tight end. They announced him as a tight end. Nice. And so if you're in a tight end premium league, this podcast is going to air after. Okay, yeah, we're good. Take a late round shot on Elijah Higgins. moving on to the tight end position for your tight end premium leagues. Man, that tight end position actually has some pretty decent landing spots, Steven.
Yeah,
Dalton Kincaid, another surprise of the draft, went to the Buffalo Bills at 125. If you've got a Dawson Knox share, Steven, with him getting that contract extension and stuff, how are you feeling about him right now?
You hate it.
Man,
you hate it because what he's fixing to be relegated as is the passing, is the running, is the blocking tight end. That's what's fixing to happen. Yep. He was only really utilized as a red zone target. You know, he never really got in the middle of that offense coming down the field. It was always touchdown or bust, which is the case a lot of times with tight ends. But them picking Kincaid here in the first round, this shows what they want to do with this tight end position. Everybody's trying to mirror Travis Kelce, right? I mean, that's what people want to do. These NFL teams that are drafting these athletic tight ends that has these nice big metrics and can run and can catch, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to mimic Travis Kelce, and you hate this if you're the Kincaid owner. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're the Dawson Knox owner.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not, Steven, but give me Dalton Kincaid in a Superflex tight end premium league right after your probably 3 main wide receivers. Like right there with Zay Flowers, Dalton Kincaid, right. I am perfectly fine taking Dalton Kincaid over Zay Flowers in a tight end premium league.
Yep.
Next tight end off the board was Sam Laporta going to the Detroit Lions at 203. Love the landing spot. Love the offense, actually. There are not a lot of weapons inside that offense. You've got Amon-Ra St. Brown as your number one target. You've got Jameson Williams suspended for the first 6 games, which we didn't even talk about on here. But Sam Laporta could very easily sneak in and be a solid, solid wide receiving weapon for this team. Michael Mayer, a lot of people's tight end ones pre-draft, went to the Las Vegas Raiders at 204. Another team with not a ton of weapons. You got Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams ahead of them. And so Mayer's another tight end that I'm targeting second round of tight end premium leagues.
I think Michael Mayer, for me, can still be around the Kincaid mark. Like, I don't – look, pre-draft, this guy was the tight end one. And absolutely. I don't think the landing spot's terrible. I mean
– I don't either.
Dan Waller's gone. I mean, so it's going to be his job. I just don't – I know he's dropped some because – and I think it's – and again, we just talked about how what we think about Kincaid in the Knox situation. But I think a lot of it's just shock value of Kincaid going to be with Josh Allen. So everybody's just like, all of a sudden, let's go Kincaid, tight end one. And you just said it yourself. Hey, let's – you know, I'm fine with you taking him after those top three wide receivers. But don't sleep on Michael Mayer. If he's falling into the second round of tight end premium, you better grab him because, to be honest with you, I think he could. I think his spot is easily end of the first round in tight end premium.
I think Kincaid and Michael Mayer, to be honest with you, Steven, are probably top 20 tight ends right now in the NFL in dynasty rankings.
Yeah.
And so if you can get them in your drafts, man, go ahead and do it. Another tight end, Luke Musgrave, went to the Green Bay Packers at 211. I think they actually went and got another tight end, Kraft, later on in the draft. So we'll see who the starting tight end is here. Like what me and you talked about before the show, Steven, Luke Musgrave is a player that we're targeting in tight end premium leagues. You actually just got him in the third round. I was debating on getting him there. And so I think he's a player that could very easily, sneakily, be a solid piece of that run first offense.
Right.
Luke Schoonmaker. I do not want to mispronounce that name. Dallas Cowboys, 227. I think he easily becomes the tight end one for the team. I mean, they got Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hinder shot as well. I've looked at Schoonmaker's profile, and I think he ends up becoming a tight end one on the team. A player that a lot of people were talking about pre-draft, though, and even through the combine process, was Darnell Washington out of Georgia. He ended up falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 330. Some people said that he had health concerns and some other stuff. He ends up being Pat Freiermuth's backup, but I think they actually end up using him as primarily a blocking weapon. So this is really good for Najee Harris. It's really good for Kenny Pickett. I saw where one thing said that they're putting together an offensive line in Pittsburgh called the Pickett Fence, and I thought that was hilarious. But Darnell Washington, I am taking a late round shot on him because he is a big body tight end. Could very, very easily become a red zone threat there in Pittsburgh. Steve, you got any more players you want to cover, man?
No, man. I think you've hit all of these guys that are going to be your major players in your rookie drafts. And it's a nice list. I think you said this, BJ, and I don't quite agree with you. You were like, I think you kind of said that the second round to you is just blah. But I think there's some value here. I think you have to be smart. I think you have to pick the right player, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think there's players to be had. Every year you always hear, you know, this 23 class is going to be way better than the 22 class, or the 24 class is going to be way better than the 23 class. Load up on those 24 picks, or the 25 class is going to be so much better than the 24 class. It's every year you hear that, but every year we roll this around and it winds up being real close to the same. I mean, obviously you're like this year we had, obviously we're going to have a better quarterback class this year. So it just depends, but every year this thing, it always shakes itself out. So don't let people tell you that this class, you know, some class is going to be better than another, because it always shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, you look at people who are crapping on the 22 class, and what, like Chris Olave and all of them came out and did this past year. And exactly. So, yeah, I do agree with you, Steven. I think my perspective of it was, I remember back, like even during the season last year, everybody was like, man, go get 23 seconds. And I remember just the hype that was built around that. And then now that it's come actual time to put pen on paper, I think that the hype was just extremely up there. I do think, like what you said, Steven, the second round picks are valuable. But it's just, I was a little let down from the hype that I was expecting. You know what I mean? And so I think you get a little bit of that with most drafts, though. And yeah. So with it, though, I'm anxious to see how the season plays out. I'm really excited to see how some of these rookie drafts play out. I have already seen people making mistakes left and right. And to be honest with you, Steven, I'm here for it, man. I'll sit there and I'll snap or take my guy whenever he falls and just kind of roll with it, man. With all that being said, guys, we want to take this time and just thank y'all for listening to a quick episode that we had tonight. We just wanted to cover these landing spots and stuff. And just a real quick update, we are going to be doing a mock draft this week. Just a couple of days after we release this episode, we are actually going to be putting pen to paper. And Steven, let's do an alternating draft where you take odds, I'll take evens or something like that. We just kind of see where we're at, have some open discussion. We may actually just do the first round, maybe a little bit of the second. We'll kind of see where time allows. But thank you, listeners, man. We appreciate it. Go give us a follow on social media. You can check us out on Facebook, Legacy of Legends of Dynasty Podcast, and on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can check my personal Twitter at AfroDynamics116, and Stevens is at SDeaton24. We appreciate you guys. Like I said, go follow our friends over at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Steven, you got any nice dynasty advice for us, man? I kind of put you on the spot here.
Well, I mean, I think we're at this time of year that we actually love with our rookie drafts and things like that. My advice to you would be, you know, take your time. There's no reason to get in 8 drafts in one day, right? I mean, we got until what, August, September, before this thing really rolls around. So enjoy these drafts. Do your homework. Don't try to get 3 or 4 drafts going at one time. That's kind of my advice to you if you're a commissioner, even if you're just an owner. Commissioner's got a lot going on. If you're a commissioner of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 leagues like I am, it's just hard because I don't want them all going on at one time. I've got some owners that are impatient. And I try to tell them, look, just calm down. It's going to be okay. We're going to get it in. So just be patient with your commissioners and do your homework on your drafts. Try not to have 1 or 2 more going at one time because you will get caught up and you'll get mixed up. So just do your homework, calm down. Everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely. My advice for you as well, this is kind of some sneaky advice. Be putting some offers out there for some veteran players, man. People are wanting to sneak into the 3rd and 2nd rounds right now, and they are offering some pretty good studs to get back in there and take a shot on somebody for the potential of them being a stud. So, man, go out there and see what's out there. I actually had some interesting offers the past couple of days, and pretty excited about. And so we appreciate you guys once again. Look forward to having some more fun Dynasty content in the next couple of days. Man, y'all just have a good week. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your rookie drafts. Don't rush it and just enjoy it, man. Take it for what it is. And we hope that you guys are making the moves to come into 2023 season and win y'all a Dynasty championship. Y'all have a good one, man.